Thanks for joining us today for our Thursday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. So let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, there's this issue with the distribution of food that needs to be done fairly. And it says in verse 1, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." Okay, so the distributing of food wasn't being done fairly. They're thinking that there were some that were having priority over others, and so a complaint rose. And so this blesses me because it just shows even in the early church, people complain. So it's kind of like, okay, nothing's really changed there. And so it says, "Then 12, the 12, meaning the 12 apostles, summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation.'" Okay, first off, how are you going to find these men in the church with good reputation? It means that they've already been serving somewhere in an area of service, and they're proving themselves faithful. Things have been given them to do, to help out in the church. And they've been proven faithful in doing that. And so it says 7 men of good reputation. They have a good reputation because they've already shown themselves to be faithful. And they are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, meaning you've already seen how God has been using them. Okay? And it goes on, "whom we may appoint over this business. But we," the 12 said, "will give ourselves continue to prayer to the ministry of the word," which God has called them to. "And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose." They knew exactly who they're called to do this. "Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch," which means he's a Gentile. "A woman whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them." And look at the result, okay? Look at the result of these guys just stepping up where there's a need of service. It says, "And the word of God spread, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." I mean, look at what happened here. Because every part is doing their part. Everybody is functioning in the capacity that God has called them to. When a need arises, people stepped in to meet the need, so the disciples can continue to do what they were called to do. And as everybody is doing what they're being called to do, look what happens. People stepped up, they met the need at hand, and the whole body of Christ is working together, and the word of God spread. Okay? Number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And then something that should really blow your mind, even some of the priests came to saving faith. What? They're the ones that are always against us. I know. But when everybody is doing their part, God manifests in a way that even the hardest of hearts are reached for the glory of God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Stephen, again, has already proven himself with the others, okay? But as he continues to be faithful in what God opens the door to do, look what happens next. In verse 8, sometime later, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." As Stephen was being faithful in those doors that God was opening, guess what? God continued to grow Stephen's ministry to the point where he was full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. "Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen." Who are these people? Well, we don't know all of them, but we do know one of them, Saul. He is from Cyrene. He was probably one of those arguing, disputing with Stephen. And yet, guess what? Verse 10, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke." Stephen was wiping the floor with these guys. The Spirit of God just speaking. Every time they came at him, he had an answer. through the Spirit of God of what the Old Testament says and how it points to the person of Jesus. And he was just wiping the floor with them. God opened up even more ministry for Stephen as he was faithful in exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least can be faithful in much. But if you can't even be faithful in what is least, you can't be faithful in much. What is he saying? He said, hey, look, here's something that needs to be done. Oh, that's way beneath me. I'm not going to do that. Can you be faithful in little things? Guess what? God's not going to open to you any bigger things. Okay. You got to be faithful in little things in order to be faithful in much. And Stephen was willing to do whatever it takes. It was probably under, as he's full of the Holy Spirit, already doing things, already probably preaching the word and everything. Hey, somebody needs to help with the distribution. Oh, I'll do it. Nothing's too small for him. He does that, and God's just showing us that's the attitude to have. Where's the need? Do that. Can you be a warm body that fills that position in order to be able to help out the body of Christ in this way? Yeah, I can. Well, then do that and watch God open the door and show you other giftings that you might have. And so you first have to prove yourself in serving in what is least to be able to prove your faithfulness. There's work to be done in God's kingdom, and some work all have been called to, and we're not doing it. A lot of people look at some of the things in God's word and say, oh yeah, I'm not called to that. What, to love your neighbor? Yeah, that's not a gifting. That's kind of a command. This is actually what I hear quite a bit. I don't have the gift of hospitality. Really? Why don't you go back here to Romans? Go back to Romans chapter 12. Verse 9, we're no longer talking about gifts. He's now telling you how to behave as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so here in Romans 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Man, I don't have that gift. Abhor what is evil. Yeah, I don't have that gift. Cling to what is good. Yeah, I don't have that gift either. No, this is what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to love without hypocrisy. You're supposed to abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continually steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. To be kind to one another, to love one another, to serve the Lord, meeting the needs that given to hospitality. Those aren't giftings. That's in the command for. This is what we are to do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is what you are to do. And so these are not callings, they're requirements of believers in Christ. And so again, we look at this and everybody's been given a gift. Where's the need in the body of Christ? You know? And so go, step up. Just fulfill that need. You know, fulfill that need. Whether it's helping out in the cafe, or we need more ushers and greeters, or helping out in Sunday school. Did you just say Sunday school? I have no giftings with children. Well, you know what? There's a need there. Nobody's going to put you in charge of children to begin with. You will come alongside and help, you know? And we have people that are serving in a capacity that can come alongside and teach you how to be with kids. And God will bless. God will bless. One of these days, we should just have testimonies of what God has done. You know, and I look around here and I see where you guys are serving. And I remember back in the day going that you're kind of going, oh, I would never do that. And that's what you're doing now. And it's like, that is so God. Yes, because you knew that there was a need and you just stepped into it, not knowing what the Lord was going to do, but he was going to do because you were willing. You're willing. And that's all God wants is a willing heart. And he'll do the rest and he'll equip you to do what needs to be done. And so here, going back to Exodus here in chapter 31, it says here, and according to all that I've commanded you, they shall do. And so we are grateful for the artisans. We are so grateful for those who step up and use their gifts for the glory of God. That's the whole point of that. You're doing something outside of yourself with a willing heart to be able to show and be able to say, God, you died for me. How can I not live for you? You died for me. How can I not step up and help out in this way? Even though it's not something my flesh pretty much wants to do, but I'll do it anyway. And I'll do it for you because I love you and I appreciate so much of what you've done for me. So now we have in verse 12, you've been given the building project, Moses. Guess what? Now remember the Sabbath. What? Why is this being brought up? Why is this being brought up? It's interesting to me that this, of all the Ten Commandments, is what's being brought up here as a reminder. Why is that? I would submit to you, because what God is saying is, look, I've given you this great build project. You're going to get really excited about doing this great build project. I'm in it of you doing this great build project. And you know what you're going to have the tendency to do? Work on the day you're not supposed to work. So he goes into verse 12 here and he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak also to the children of Israel saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for it is holy to you, everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of the speaking with him on the Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Now, when we started our build project, I made it very clear, we are not going to work on Sunday. We are not going to work on Sunday. And over the 3 years that we've been building there, there were times that a trade or two would all of a sudden work on a Sunday. I'd be driving to church, and all of a sudden I'd see a bunch of vehicles in the parking lot there. Or I would see, even before that, when we were just doing site development, some people there kicking up dirt, doing things, and we'd have to give them a call and say, hey, we said no work on Sunday. Yeah, but we got to get this done in order. No. We're not doing any work on Sunday. We're not going to do this. The neighbors do not need trucks and people making noise on the property every single day. They need a day of rest of this as well. And so I would say less than a handful of times I've seen that happen and a phone call had to be made. And it's just an overzealous person not, you know, knowing that at the time, especially with some of the landscapers just recently saw that on a Sunday and had to let them know, hey, we're not working on Sunday, okay? And so, again, because I want to give God that glory. And even though they might not be believers and they might not go to church or whatever, they have the opportunity. And we want to always give people an opportunity to be able to come together and give God glory on a Sunday. So, now we went over in great detail about the seventh day, the fourth commandment, way back in the day. It was actually April 6th of 2024. So over a year ago is when we were in the commandments. We took 2 weeks because the Sabbath day is so important. And a quick little recap of the Sabbath. Sabbath Hebrew word is Shabbat, and it comes from the root word Shavat, and it means to repose or to cease from work, cease and desist, okay? Meaning it's not a day as business as usual, okay? Rather, it's a day of relaxation, recuperation, a day to sit back and set back and look at life's ordinary routine and instead rediscover God's goodness and his grace by coming together in fellowship to give him praise and glory and worship. And so Colossians 2:16 makes this very clear. Paul tells us, Let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. It's in the plural. And the reason it's in the plural is because the Sabbaths doesn't just speak of the seventh day of the week. It also spoke of high holidays like Passover. And other high holidays like that, that those Sabbaths are included in this, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. In other words, all these things that we just mentioned are a picture, they're a type, but they actually point to a person, and that person is Jesus. The reality of all these things that you're doing points to the reality of Christ, okay? So because of that, we understand that the Sabbath, that rest, is now resting in a person, okay? Dave, are we still supposed to rest in a day? Yes, but first, let's look about resting in a person. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 11. Go to Matthew chapter 11. The Sabbath day is what sanctified the people. The people were supposed to gather together and come to who? God. That was a day where they came to God, collectively gave him worship, okay? I personally believe that's exactly what Jesus has in mind when he says this in chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me. Now, why would she come to you? Because he is God, that's why. And the words that he uses here. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. You're supposed to find that rest on the Sabbath. But Jesus is saying, I am the Sabbath. And you need to rest in me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is an absolutely 100% truth statement if you're resting in the Lord. And so if you're carrying heavy burdens, that isn't from God, because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. So either Jesus is lying to us here, or he's absolutely telling a truth principle here, that somehow we are, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. Why are you heavy laden? Why are you carrying this huge burden that's weighing you down so much? Because you haven't given it over to the Lord. You haven't hooked your yoke upon Jesus. Because if you do, he will carry you through that. And he says right here, your yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy. It's still a yoke. There's still work to be done. But it's his burden to get it done. And you're just following what it is that he is telling you to do. I have a dear friend up in the mountains and pastor of a church there. And so years ago when Chuck Smith came and did a pastor's breakfast for us, after he got done exhorting us, teaching and things, he opened up for questions, and there were some really good questions. And then there was a question that kind of got a little bit of a stern rebuke from him. And so my friend is one that asked that question. And so he said, hey, Pastor Chuck, how do you keep from getting burned out?
Well, I just believe what Jesus says. And he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I've never gotten burned out, nor do I get burned out, because I'm yoked to Jesus.
And it was a little bit of a smackdown of what was asked. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm so glad I didn't ask that. But every single pastor was glad that he asked that, because they wanted to hear this wisdom. Yeah, how do you not get burned out? And then when he spoke, it was kind of like, I don't even know that guy. But it was kind of like, wow, that is absolutely true. Dave, have you ever gotten burned out? I've gotten close. And I would say by getting close, it was because I wasn't doing this. Dave, are you burned out because of the build project? I am not. Because I've put my yoke on Jesus. And because it is his burden, it's not mine. I started to get a little heavy laden with it And then that's when the Lord spoke to me. He goes, who are you yoked to? Are you carrying this on? Are things just not going your way? Why don't you hook yourself back up to me and rest in me? That I'll get it done when I get it done. Okay? As soon as I did that, burden was gone. The burden was gone. And that's exactly what it is. Every one of us has to learn to rest and learn. What are you carrying this morning? And why are you carrying it? You're not resting in the Lord. You need to go before the Lord. You need to ask forgiveness for that, thinking that you know better than God. And so you have to carry this great burden for him. He hasn't called any of us to do that. He's called us to yoke ourselves with him because his burden is light. There's still a burden there, but it's light. And if you're buckling under it, it's because you're doing it in your own strength. Back off and let him carry you through that. Rest in him, knowing it's going to get done when it gets done. You know, I'm so blessed by all of you because ever since we've done the Build Project, we have been saying this is going to be done in God's timing. You know, so you could ask me, hey, Dave, when are we going to get up there? Hey, why is it taking so long? Whatever. You could ask that, and I'm going to say the same thing. We'll get up there when God wants to be up here. Here's the beautiful thing that I've experienced over the last 3+ years. I have never had any of you ever come up to me complaining that this is taking so long. None of you, you know, have come up to me, why is this taking, when are we going to get up there? Gosh, I haven't heard any of you say this, and I'm so blessed by that. I have pastors say it all the time. A pastor's prayer here in town, you know, when other pastors at Calvary's outside of Colorado that I rub elbows with, yeah, haven't you been working on this for a few years now? Yeah. Well, what's taking so long? And I said, you don't get to ask that question. If you really want to know, go to the Lord. It's all being done in God's timing. It is pastors that have asked me that question. But you, the fellowship, you've never asked me that question. And it speaks volumes of who you are. You do understand it is God's timing, you know? And I'm very blessed by that. I just want to let you know that. That really blesses me as well. And so going back to this, we just see here, going back to Exodus 31 here. Verse 13 says something very, very interesting. It says, speak also the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. What is going to sanctify them? The Sabbath is what sanctifies them. What sanctifies us today? 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. Hebrews 13:12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. How does God set us apart for himself today? He does it in Christ. He did it by the blood of Christ. Jesus died for the sin of mankind. And when you receive that, you're sanctified. You're set apart in Christ. That's how it is today. That's the way it was back then. This is the way it is today. And so the Sabbath points to Jesus.
That concludes this Thursday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Listen in tomorrow as we continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. Thank you for tuning in to this radio station today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.